John chapter 1, page 1063 in these Bibles. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. Praise God for his word. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, Lord Jesus, the light, the hope for this world, the overcomer of darkness. Thank you, Lord, that we can be here this morning, joining together to worship you, to learn of you. Lord, thank you for David and the abilities and skills that you've given him, Lord, the time that he's had this week to prepare this message that you want us to hear. Lord, as you've blessed him, we pray you'd bless us. Help us to be doers of your word, not just hearers only. Lord, open our eyes to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tegwin, and a very warm welcome to those in the building and those watching online. We are first Sunday of Advent, a new series, and we are thinking, as Dan said earlier, about this theme through the month of December of prepare him room. We're going to be looking at some great carols. We're going to be looking at some bits of John chapter 1. And all around the world, people are singing. Singing carols like the ones we've sung in all kinds of different languages. They're singing and remembering the angel's song that first Christmas, that this is good news of great joy. But all too often this time of year, for many, is a time of stress, a time where we have these kind of longings and expectations which often feel unfulfilled. It can be a time where life feels exceptionally busy and kind of exceptionally full or particularly empty. I don't know which is your usual experience of December, or maybe it varies. But one of the things we're going to be thinking about is how, as we prepare room for Jesus, that he is able to come and fill our hearts and lives with his presence and with the joy and the peace and the hope that his presence brings. And our theme today that we're particularly looking at is hope. Do you want to just turn to a neighbor and just say to them, there is hope, and say hello as well if you haven't had a chance to do that yet. There is hope. Hello, there's hope. In fact, you're not going to meet anyone anywhere from any nation in any part of the world where you can't say, hello, there's hope. We just sung, hope of all the earth thou art. Hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Do you have a longing heart this morning? What are you longing for? We've called this title of this sermon today, Longing for a Better Christmas. I wonder what that might look like for you, for me. Maybe it'd be a better Christmas if it could be a Christmas with less stress in it. Or maybe less family tensions than maybe in the past. Or maybe with more time to reflect and worship. Or maybe for you, it would be about who you would love to be there at Christmas time. I know for me personally, one of the things that I'm longing for is for our daughter to come home from uni. Maybe though the things that I'm also longing for and you're also longing for are things that are actually far, far, far bigger than that. Longing to see transformation in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. Maybe longing to see transformation in our nation, even as we've had all that's been going on this week in Parliament. Longing for hope to come into people's lives where they feel despair. We've been thinking through our gift day of places of great need and so much where there is despair rather than hope. And earlier in our service, we were praying for places in our world where people are persecuted or where there's conflicts. You know, what does it look like for a better Christmas for them? Longing for transformation in our world. You know, one of the wonderful things about this carol that I want us to use alongside John 1 to help us as we unpack this theme of hope this morning is that this carol, O Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus, is actually a carol written by Charles Wesley at a time of revival and awakening, kind of sometimes called the Great Awakening in our own nation. It was written in 1744. Already God had been doing some remarkable things in our nation at a time of great darkness. The Spirit had been moving. God had been moving, saving hundreds of thousands of people. There was kind of radical transformation and social reforms that happened in so many different walks of life around that time. You know, and I want to come to you this morning and say, probably your longings for this season ahead and for even the time ahead, our longings are actually, as C.S. Lewis put, our desires and longings are not usually too small, too big, but too small. That actually in God we see that his longings and what he calls us to long and hope for is stuff that's far, far bigger than just having maybe a better Christmas. He wants us to see and have a longing for so much more. For how God can powerfully move in your life, in my life, in his church, in the nations, and in the nations. You know, I really believe that John chapter 1 and this carol are going to help us unwrap this theme of hope. And I want to say this right at the start. Hope in the Bible is not some kind of abstract thought or wishful thinking. Hope is tied up in a person. In the person of Jesus Christ. Hope is in him. It's like, you know, in those films, often the ones that come to mind are the ones where, you know, it's Dwayne Johnson, the kind of the Rock, and he's kind of like, the world is kind of collapsing, usually one of his kids is in trouble, and, everything's kind of going wrong, and it's going to be all right, because Dwayne the Rock Johnson's going to show up. Except that, of course, it seems completely unrealistic, because the big kind of collapse, or tsunami, or whatever it is that's coming, is no way that he can kind of do all that he's kind of doing, but he does. He shows up and it's okay because he comes. Well, I want to say this to you in a much bigger and more profound way. As you look at your life, your family's life, you look at our nation and you look at the world, I want to say this. It is all going to be okay because someone is coming. It is all going to be okay because someone is coming and his name is Jesus. That is what Advent is all about. It's that time that's filled with longing and expectation and hope. And as we were hearing earlier, Advent is a time where we remember that people for thousands of years were longing in the Old Testament for a deliverer, for the Messiah, for the Christ to come. And we remember at Advent, he came, hope came, Jesus came. But we also at Advent realize that we live in a time where his kingdom is spreading around the world. Hope is coming. It's coming today. It can come tomorrow. It can come for you today and for those you know and love. And so we pray, your kingdom come. Come, Lord Jesus, now by your Spirit in this service. But we also know that hope is coming. Jesus will return one day. And Advent is a time where we pick up that kind of final prayer of the Bible. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come and make everything new. And he will one day. We know he will one day because as he was faithful to his promises in the past, he'll be faithful to his promises in the future. And so you and I can press in to today to live lives of hope. And as we unpack that theme of hope, if you like, imagine it as a present, hope that's coming to you today. And as you unwrap it, that's what I want us to think about today. As you unwrap this hope, what do we find? Well, hope unwrapped. Firstly, I want us to see we find rest in him because there's a bigger story. We find rest in him because there's a bigger story. Our reading, John 1, starts like this. In the beginning. Does that ring any bells? In the beginning. It's the same kind of phrase exactly as Genesis 1 at the very start of the Bible where it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. John is deliberately taking us back to the beginning, as it were, of the story. He's even taking us back to before that. It's kind of like before even the world was made, in the beginning there was God. And this book of John, John's gospel, is deliberately taking us back to that bigger story and saying, look, way back there, Jesus was there. Way back there, God was at work. And then he's deliberately using this imagery to say that, look, there's going to be this kind of amazing recreation that God is bringing about. In fact, you don't have to go far in the Bible to see this beautiful world that God made. And I often find myself talking to people, whether on the streets or last night at a kind of Christmas party, just talking about the beauty in the world. How do you make sense of all the beauty? The world is so beautiful. People are so beautiful. And you see in Genesis 1 and 2, such beauty. This world that God made beautiful. Every person far more beautiful and amazing than you could possibly realize. But you read a bit further on in Genesis chapter 3 and you see what actually is so evident. I say to people, do you see all the beauty? They go, yeah. And then I say, and the amazing thing is there's so much brokenness. Everyone here broken in some way. Everyone around you, so much brokenness, such levels of brokenness in our nation and in our world. There's brokenness everywhere, all kinds of ways. Why is there such brokenness? And in Genesis 3, we see why there is such brokenness, because men and women turn their back on God and on his way. And yet, even as that happened, God promised one who was going to come and destroy the work of evil. A promise even on the third chapter in the Bible and all the way through the Old Testament, this kind of longing for that deliverer to come. And so this prayer, this carol we've been singing, come thou long expected Jesus. The one that they were waiting and longing for. Come thou long expected Jesus. We've got the kind of lines of that on the hip. Born to set thy people free, from our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Can you just say this last line with me? Let us find our rest in thee. How does our hope, how does the bigger story help us find our rest in God, in Jesus? And do we need that rest? And I think it was St. Augustine who said, our hearts are restless until they find our rest in him. And maybe at this time of year, as you think about all the things you hope to do, want to do, you can feel sometimes kind of anxiety or a sense of being overwhelmed, or maybe you think about all that's going on in our world, and there doesn't feel to be like a rest at the center of your heart and soul. The psalmist says, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him." What is it about our hope coming from him that can enable my soul and yours to find rest in him alone today? Well, back to John chapter 1, the first thing that we need to see is we need to see him, Jesus. We need to see that in this bigger story, he is at the center of it. He is the one who made all things. Look with me at John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word, he was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. And without him nothing was made that has been made." This Word, this Logos in the Greek, or the kind of the eternal Word, is this one who was with God and who was God. This is a kind of phrase used, as we're going to see later in John chapter 1:14, of the eternal Word. The Word was made flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. It's John's way of describing how Jesus came into the world. He says this Jesus was like the eternal Word of God, the good news, the message, the Logos. And he was the one through which everything was created. You remember in Genesis, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It was Jesus who was there at the beginning, Father, Son, creating all things, it says. There's nothing you're going to see this week that wasn't made by Jesus. He is the one who started it all. And in John's gospel, he's the one coming into the world again to recreate, to bring that amazing deliverance. He's the one who's right at the center of the story. His purposes and promises cannot be in any way, stopped. I think one of the challenges we have in our lives is so often we kind of make ourselves the center of the story. And that's when it gets a bit scary, because we can't kind of work out how to do everything. And we can't kind of cope with the pressure of that. And actually, that's really what the Bible says is what's gone wrong with the world. We try to put ourselves in the place where only God should be. But conversely, it's amazingly liberating when we remember that everything hinges not on you and I, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is so much bigger and greater than we are. He's the one who made everything. Not just everyone you see around you here, not just the world as you look at the horizon, maybe as you walk down on the seafront, but as you look up in the stars, the galaxies, he made it all. He is very, very big. He makes Dwayne the Rock Johnson look so puny. And he's come in, born into our world, born to set us free, to free us what from? From our fears and sins, from those fears that come when we put ourselves at the center of the story and we think afraid of the future, afraid of what they're going to think, afraid maybe of death or of growing old, or fears about all things that can so easily spring up when we put ourselves at the center. But when we put him at the center, it's going to be okay. When we remember he's at the center, it's amazing the hope and peace that comes. "Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee." You know, it's like we get caught up in the amazing big story and purposes of God. My dad loves to use a little illustration. If you imagine this kind of huge river flowing down here, like just so massive, like kind of the Amazon, or just something massive like a river down there. And what we can sometimes think in our lives is like, oh, I'm trying to do my thing over here. I'm going to quickly try and just kind of scoop up a bit of water. You know, oh, there we go, and I'll bring it back, and it's maybe spilling a little bit, and we're going to say, "God, would you please come and bless this thing I'm doing?" And we put the water on it and think, "Oh, that's not enough. Right, let me come and fill up the bit of water. God, please, I need your help today. Please, you know, for this service this morning, would you just come and bless it, Lord?" There we go. That's not really done enough. "Quick, Lord, need your, can I come in, Lord?" And we're doing this, and it's all about our thing over here. But that's not what God's inviting us to do. God's not inviting us today to try and scoop up a little bit of something to pour on your life that's all about you. He's saying, look, hey, David, come and join and step into the river, the mighty river of my purposes. Come and wade deep in. Come and get others to come and look and see. You can't stop it. God's purposes, his promises are unstoppable. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. You know, he will return and make all things new. Light will overcome the darkness. It's just unstoppable. That's the big story. And when I sort of wade into the purposes of God and I realize that I'm not trying to scoop a little bit out to take somewhere else, but I'm here, I suddenly realize, this is immense. I find that my soul is ministered to and out of which I'm able to minister, because I'm able to say, hey, Dan, hop in. Hop into this river. Hey, come, and there's life here. There's light here, as we're going to experience just now. And no wonder then, no wonder the carol goes on, and Charles Wesley, as he experiences something of the mighty move of God and revival in the nation, no wonder he's writing things like this. And he goes on, and I love these lines. They've just touched me so much as I've been preparing. Israel's strength and consolation and hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation. Joy of every longing heart. You know, it's as we kind of come and welcome the work of Christ, as we come and say, come, Lord Jesus. That's why this is really a prayer. Come, thou long expected Jesus. As we do that, God works in amazing ways. You know, Charles Wesley, initially, this was a prayer. A prayer that came out of that little phrase, dear desire of every nation, which is a quote from the Old Testament. And he prayed out of that, and then this carol came. And it's a prayer that, God, you would come as you've come in the past. Come now and come in the future, because you are our hope. Find rest, my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. But I don't just want to end there. This passage and this carol go on. And I want to say, as well as finding rest, because there's a bigger story, we can find life because there is a brighter future. You know, the passage goes on and it says other things that we have in him. In fact, I love this little phrase in chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. It says, in him was life. And that life was the light of who? Of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, in Jesus is life, like life that's powerful, kind of eternal, abundant life. In him was life. He wasn't just the one who created things. He was the one in whom is life. Life to create, but life to recreate, to bring what's dead back to life, to transform people's lives and situations. He's the one who, as the carol that also Charles Wesley wrote, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, you know, it's got that lovely line, light and life to all he brings. There is no situation in your life where he's not able to bring life and light. And as we unpack this hope, we're going to find life in him. Now, I was thinking this week, with all that's been going on in the news, with the assisted dying bill, which I have to say grieves my heart, concerns me deeply, but I can understand it. People are compassionate. They think, well, there's no hope for this person. They're terminally ill. There's only pain and suffering. Why don't we help them? Why don't we help them and just move death earlier? Because maybe death's the answer. Brothers and sisters, the message of the Bible is that death isn't the answer. Jesus is the answer, and Jesus says in him there is life. So that there is hope even when it looks like there is no hope. There is life and a kind of amazing, abundant life that's possible even in pain and suffering, whatever you or I are going through because of illness in our life or persecution in the nations or even in our own nation. There is a life that is possible, a better life, you see, because death does not have the final word. Jesus is the eternal word, the logos, the word, and his word is final, and his word brings life. And darkness does not have the final word. Jesus is the eternal word, and his word brings light. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind, the Apostle John says. And so this theme of the life of God is able to break out into any of our lives at any time, and anyone you know. This life that actually is real life, is life that it isn't just kind of like, oh no, I hope I can get through this. But it's life that's confident in the future. Because it knows the future is bright. The future is one where light is not overcome by the darkness, but where Jesus, the deliverer, has come into our world to make his light and life shine. The carol goes on in the second verse, and this was the first bit that Charles Wesley wrote. Born thy people to deliver. Born a child and yet a king. Born to reign in us forever. And let's say this line together. Now thy gracious king. It's a longing, it's a prayer that this deliverer would come, that his kingdom, his gracious kingdom would keep being worked out in our lives, that this one who came to set us free from sin and fears would do that for us right now. I don't know if you ever use the YouVersion kind of Bible verse for the day. Anyone just check the verse for the day sometimes? My son and I sometimes do that in the mornings before he gets the bus for school, and sometimes we forget and I send it to him on the bus. But it's a great thing to just share. You know the verse for today? John 1:5. In him was light. John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not understood. And I don't often do this, but I did also just watch the little story of someone speaking about it. And it was a guy called Lance Lang, founder of Hope is Alive. He is a recovering drug addict. He got caught up in drugs in a big way that destroyed his life. And he talks about there is no darkness that cannot be overcome by the light. No darkness in your life or anyone you know that cannot be overcome by the light. There's no place of darkness where the light of Christ cannot go. There's no place of guilt where the grace of God cannot go. There's no place of shame where the love of God cannot go. There is no place of despair where the hope of Christ cannot go. There is a brighter future. The deliverer has come. Now thy gracious kingdom bring. So how do we do that? How do we find life in him? How do we help others do that? Well, this is what our whole kind of series this Advent is about. It's about preparing him room. It's about coming and saying, Jesus, we welcome you, not just to a spot in our life, but to the spot. You know, not just to a kind of a part, but to a position where you can reign in all of our lives. So the last bit of this carol, this prayer, this is what it says. It says, by thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone, you alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. How do we find life in him? Well, by its letting him reign. It's welcoming that reign in all our hearts, as it were, preparing him room. It's by his eternal spirit, the life, it comes not from us. We don't have to create it or manufacture it, whether it's life or light. He's the one who's that. We come and say, we receive the Holy Spirit. Your eternal spirit, Lord, that gives us hope, life, new life in you, recreation. And is it based on what we've done? No. By thine, by the Lord Jesus, all sufficient merit. That means
There's hope for Lance Lang and for me and for you, whatever you have done, because this amazing gift, this hope, this life, the rest, it's all based not on what we've done or will do, but on his sufficient merit, on Jesus Christ's perfection. That's why at this communion table, we remember wonderfully what he has done. Our hope is in him. My hope is in him. My hope for my life, for you all, for our nation, for God to be able to do something in our city that is remarkable and could only be attributed to him, and he's able to do that. Our hope for the nations, even today, as we remember persecuted brothers and sisters around the world, Jesus is their hope. He is all sufficient for them. There is a bigger story, and you and I are not at the center of it. Hallelujah. Jesus is at the center of it. It's all about him. He is completely able to see his work done. He has come. He is coming now. He will come again. The future is bright. You and I can have hope in him. We can rest in him. We can have life in him. And so can anyone, anywhere, at any time, whatever is going on in their life. And that's the message we get the privilege of proclaiming. So I want to pause. I'm going to invite Sarah to come up. And in a moment, we're going to sing this song as a prayer, as the same carol, but as a prayer response, really. But just in this time of stillness, I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit. Just come, Holy Spirit, and minister to us, we pray. Lord, where people need today to find rest in you, Lord, bring your rest. Where we need to turn from putting ourselves at the center of the story to you at the center. Why not just say, Jesus, be at the center of my life. Where we just need life afresh to come. Lord, I pray, bring your life to us and to others through us. Eternal life, abundant life, life to the full in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that in you is the life that has no fear of the future but can have hope because the future's bright. So, Lord, we do pray that Advent prayer. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.